Hi, Broadway fans. Oh, what a night. Oh, what a day. We're about to discuss Jersey Boys. Don't go away.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Broadway Breakdown.
Hey. Sherry. Sherry, baby, Sherry.
We should have worked out some Sherry choreography.
I like the song I did.
Yeah.
Sherry, baby, Sherry, baby.
Hello, everybody. Excuse us for a little dance break, but we had to. I think you cannot listen to any music from the show and not have a little dance break.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Brianna Phipps. I'll be the host, and you find me bphipps14 on Instagram and Twitter. Jackie, fortunately, is not here this week, but I have two lovely, lovely co-hosts with me.
Lovely. Thank you.
Woohoo!
Guys, I'm Jeff Graham. Brie, thank you so much for having me on today. I love this show, love the music, and I can't wait to talk about it. So, yeah.
And where can they find you, sir?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, but I'm Mark J. Freeman.
Did I forget to introduce myself? I think I forgot to say my Twitter. In case you guys are wondering, you can find me at Jeffrey C. Graham on Twitter. One word.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me today for this musical. I love this musical. I saw it back when I was, like, I think just like 18 maybe,
It
first was going on tour. And I didn't know what to expect from it. And I just fell in love.
Well, how long ago did you see it?
So I saw it early, too. I saw it in 2005, but I've seen it again since then. And actually, I used to work as a cruise ship vocalist. I don't know if you knew that.
Ah.
And I played Bob Gotti on like a tribute show. So.
Gotcha.
You would definitely be a Bob Gotti.
Yeah, yes. He's the tall one.
So. Yeah.
10 or 2. Yeah.
I think I saw it in 2000. I was trying to figure this out. I think it was 2009 because I took my husband for his birthday to Vegas.
Oh, you're to the Vegas
And
show.
I surprised him and took him to Vegas. But I have to say, we thought it was at 8 o'clock and it started at 7:30, so we missed the first half hour of it.
Oh, no.
So that was disappointing, but I loved, like, I walked out of it just like...
You missed the montage.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Yeah.
This show, like we said, is just so much fun. I think, let's just dive right into it. So I want to talk about just kind of how they brought this show about, because this show is actually their real story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I put, like, quotes around real because it's not... From one perspective, everyone else, you know, everyone tells their story. They get their own perspective. But doing a musical based on a true story is a whole nother game.
Right.
Because when you see musicals, like even like stuff like Hamilton, which is based on a true story, but we're not knowing those people. It's been years and years and years.
Right.
And you're kind of having to fill in gaps or make stuff up or mm-hmm. whatever you do. But now when you have something where three of the four members are still alive,
mm-hmm.
family members are still alive, like it wasn't that long ago in history. Like, yeah. I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
Definitely. And especially when it's a group that's so iconic.
Right.
Like, not only is it pressure because they're alive, but like so many people cherish and love the group. And there's some like salacious details in this musical that we're going to get into. And like, yeah, I mean, the show handles it so well, but there's a lot of risks in a project like this, I think.
I was talking to my roommate today about it, about coming here. He heard me playing the music. He's like, is that Jersey Boys? And I said, what I liked was that I kind of compared it to Mamma Mia, in that Mamma Mia tried to create a story based on these songs, whereas Jersey Boys is their story, and it just happens that these songs really fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was like the best way to tell the story is to sing these songs that these guys wrote and sang. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it takes it to a whole other level.
Well, there was like talks that it was originally going to be like a Mamma Mia type show, where it was just going to be their songs and they're making up a show. And then Marshall Brickman, who was one of the writers, said, no, I think we need to just actually tell the story.
Yeah.
I think we need to do it like a documentary style.
Yeah. I love it too. And I don't actually love Mamma Mia. Some people do.
I don't.
I don't know
either.
How you guys feel about it.
I have a hate relationship with
Mamma Mia.
I love ABBA. I don't love Mamma Mia.
And Mamma Mia was one of the first jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that was the reason it was such a hit, was because it was fun. It's fun to hear songs you knew.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think it works as well as Jersey Mm-mm. Boys. Like, and I think what you're saying is so true, that like the intersection of narrative and music is so beautiful in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it doesn't really work in Mamma Mia.
No,
so.
not at all.
So we scale over years of their lives. Like, we're seeing their music progress as their lives progress.
Right.
And so we see the differences in, like, style of their music going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I grew up with all of this music because my dad always had this very thing, like, this is my car, this is my house, we listen to what I want to listen to.
Right. Yeah.
So he listened to the oldie station, and I would listen, I'd hear these songs, and I never realized that, like, you know, the same people that wrote Sherry were also the same people that did You're Just Too Good to Be True.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah. They're such different songs.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yeah. It is completely my childhood, like, revisited. Like, that's all, like, my parents, that's all this, that kind of music is all I grew up listening to. So
that's like
to sit in that audience and watch that was just like,
that's the fun part of the show for me. It's like you get to see them, yeah, like go on this journey of like really fun, like crazy drunk high years, and mm-hmm, then going into dark depressing moments. Like you get both of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which some shows, you know, like they like to focus on just the lighter or just the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, we get both. So this musical was brought about because Bob Gardia wanted to make a musical. But he actually took himself off. Him and Frankie Valli and Tony, they were like, no, we need to step back. We're not going to be part of this creative process because they were too objective.
Right.
They did have final say, however, of just Frankie Valli, I think, about Gardio, if the musical, like, they didn't like it, they were going to be like, yeah, they could veto it.
Okay.
Which is also like, oh, we're going to create this whole thing and then show it to these people, and maybe they're going to hate it. But, like, what do you guys think about that? Of like, this is your story, but you're going to let somebody else tell it, and you're not going to really put yourself.
I mean, I think it's smart that they had the final say.
I think it was also smart of them to remove themselves, though. I think if you're going to give someone the opportunity to tell your story, it's just let the experts do it. Because, yeah, like, the thing is, even though it is biographical, it still is a story. It's still fictionalized, mm-hmm, and when you're telling someone's story, you have to do it in a way that's theatrical and, like, you know, like, there's an arc to the narrative. And I think you've got to let people who have an expert background in theater storytelling take the reins, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, like, what you mentioned, they had final veto power. I'm sure so much money went to the development of this show. Can you imagine if they saw it and they're like, no, we don't like it?
I know.
It's a good thing
they did. Well, it was funny because they met with all of them. They wanted to get all their stories and, like, it says, like, each story was different. Mm-hmm. Frankie Valli told, it happened this way.
Different
and then
versions.
Gardio said it happened this way. And then Tommy was like, no, those guys are liars. Let me tell you how it really happened. Which is why they started the show off saying, you know, you ask four different guys, you get four different versions.
Yeah.
And you know what's so funny is like I said, it's been a while for all of us since we've seen it. I was like, I need to find somewhere where I can find the story. Mm-hmm. Like, I just to kind of remind myself of what actually happened. And I actually found, this kind of blew my mind. And this is on, what is this on? Broadway World. I guess it's like a message board. And somebody says, can somebody post a plot summary of Jersey Boys? And if you could include the music, I'd love it. This guy, I think it's a guy. Woman. Lizzie Curry literally wrote out, look, this whole thing.
Wow.
Put the intermission, put in all the song, like it was like, and at the end she says, and just so you know, that was from memory. Like, oh, she wow. did it, like she must know the show that well. So if you need a little breakdown of it, it's on the Broadway World website.
And I'm sure Mark can post it in our comments.
Yeah, I could totally
for
do
you
that.
Guys. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Look at it.
It was just nice because I had forgotten that they each came out and narrated part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Which I think was a really, really smart way to do it.
Yeah, I really liked that a lot.
And if I remember right, their stories also each correspond with the season. Like, it's yeah. like, I felt so dumb. The first time I saw this show, I didn't really put together that, like, there were four seasons because the group is called the Four Seasons. Like, I didn't actually, I just thought it was a storytelling device, which it also is.
But that's part of it. Like,
exactly.
There's stuff like that that mm-hmm. isn't going to, like, it just kind of, it's a cool thing when you find it out, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily something that you're, like, super forced in your face. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very deep show. And, like, I think the show could have been bad. Like, it could have been a really surface-level, poppy exploration of a band. And instead, it's this really kind of beautiful, deep exploration of a group.
And I think if the members had too much say, that might have been what would have happened.
Definitely agree, yeah.
I just posted the link in the chat room for the people that are watching
okay,
live.
Okay, thank you.
Oops, any web address?
Oh, by the way, guys, Mark is in our chat room. If you can just get that.
Yeah,
so if you want to talk and let us know anything.
It's not letting me.
Oh, it's not. Oh, we're not
because
connected.
It's a link.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because we're live. Well, I'll do it afterwards.
He'll do it afterwards.
Yeah, put in the comments.
But yeah, you can still talk to him through the comments right now.
What?
Tay Diggs is now following me on Twitter. Amazing. I don't know how that just happened.
Maybe. Magic of Broadway.
Maybe he's tuned in.
I know. Maybe. Hi, Tay, if you're watching. Yeah. Random.
So this story, like we said, it's not a happy story. Yeah. It's very, very much a story of like rags to riches, back to rags.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story of that due to choices that the band made, because their lives were not portrayed, like what they were portrayed as in that time period was not what their lives were.
Yeah.
And they very smartly were able to hide their lives. The press wasn't really that focused on them because we had the Beatles, we had Janis Joplin, you had all these other bands that were coming out that were huge. So they, while they were very well known, like they weren't as big as that. So they were able to kind of hide it, which they had this very clean cut image. And if people found out, whoa, they were in prison, they were money laundering, like all this stuff was happening, I don't know if they would have had the career they had.
Yeah.
So it's very lucky for them.
It's funny because I think our grandparents a lot of times will be like, oh, we hate rap. All those guys are gangsters and hustlers. And I'm like, it's the same. Yeah, I'm like, but you love the Four Seasons. You just didn't, you just didn't know.
And Frank Sinatra.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
These guys, forever, a lot of pop celebrities have been gangsters and hustlers.
Just a different kind of gangster.
Just a different kind, yeah. More Sopranos and less The Wire.
There was another thing, too, on that they I was reading, too, about how they lied about their ages, too.
Oh, really?
Because they said that they were concerned that if they knew how old they were, that the younger...
Because Frankie was the only actual, the younger one.
Well, he was, I think he said he was 28, but they lied and said he was 25. But then when he got arrested, they had to, and his real age came out, that and they had to like go, oh yeah, we were kind of fudging that. But
well, they said that a lot of their story, a lot of these prisons, like all this prison stuff and all this like behind the scenes things didn't come out and people didn't know about it until this musical came out. So I wonder like how, like people that grew up with them that maybe never knew this, like saw the musical and were like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to ask my mom.
The thing is,
I don't think she's seen the show yet though.
Yeah. Oh, she needs to.
Yeah.
The thing is, the show is so good that I feel like even if you were to be spoiled by the kind of dirty details, the show is good enough to, I feel like every, like if you didn't include that stuff, the show wouldn't be as great as it is.
You wouldn't have the heart.
You wouldn't have the heart. Yeah. Agreed.
Like we'd just be like, oh, look at this band of people from New Jersey that were poor and then became rich and famous and singers and it was happy. Everything was happy.
Right.
And you'd be like, life's not like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and they went through a lot of stuff. Like, you know, there was divorce, cheating, scandals. Like, they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like, I mean, still relevant today because that is still how people are. I mean, being on the road nowadays, like, yeah, you can fly places. It's not having to travel by car and be away from your families maybe as long, but it's still pretty tough. Like, this is a very tough lifestyle, and this show, I think, showed that in a very real way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I like the show because it feels like a fusion of so many different genres. Like, it kind of feels like, have you guys seen Almost Famous before, the movie? So it kind of feels like the road element, has that and the fun. But then, like, it also kind of does feel like The Sopranos. Like, these guys are, like, down and dirty New Jersey gangsters. So I feel like it picked and chose, but then it has the fun, like, upbeat Broadway feel. Like, it really did a good job of picking the best components and tones of different, like, amazing successful projects and blending it into one thing.
Because we have things like Fallen Angel, which is about his daughter dying. But then we have Oh What a Night, which is about him losing his virginity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have like all these elements that are like told in the way that they were supposed to be originally told, but maybe it's like so stupid because when I listened to Oh What a Night growing up, like I had no idea.
I know.
And then I watched the show and I was like, how did I not realize that this was about that?
Yeah, it's a dirty song.
It ended much too soon. That's the best line for me. It ended much too soon.
First time, man.
So the show was brought about like because of all these factors, and they wanted to tell their story. And obviously, we only have three of the four. So we're missing a little bit of the fourth. You know, we don't have his actual perspective, and that is Mick Massey. He, unfortunately, had passed away. So we only got... I wonder if the show would be different if he was still alive, if if his input would have made it any different. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I guess they could get away with a little bit more of his part of the story.
Yeah, because they did make his part a little smaller than the other.
I'm trying to remember. Isn't the joke in the show, he's like, I'm the one that never, like, no one pays attention to? Like,
yeah.
There's something interesting about the fact that, like, maybe that comedy actually would be lost. Like, maybe his voice not being accessible because of his passing away is what kind of inspired the idea that he's, like, the forgettable. So, like, despite, I mean, although it's sad, the comic relief of Nick kind of being the, like the non-present voice in the show, maybe that is because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
I just wonder, I wonder what his story would have been. Like, I'm so intrigued. Because they did a lot of research. I mean, even down to the mob boss, I wrote his name down.
Angelo.
Jip DiCarlo.
Yep.
Yeah. They went to his family members so they could make sure they portrayed him right and stuff. Like, they did a lot of research. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they also went to Nick Massey's family members and stuff. I just want to know what his actual thoughts and story would be on this.
We'll never know.
So let's talk about the music, because the music is the core part of this entire show.
So good.
Yeah, it's so good.
And like we said,
all the way here.
It's everyone, like, I don't think there's a single person alive that won't recognize at least one of their songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're so prevalent and reused in popular culture. I mean, like, 10 Things I Hate About You, come on.
Yeah.
That was my barometer for the song before I saw the show. Like, that was my exposure. I feel like people in our generation, that's what we know.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like the other stuff's like, oh yeah, it was something on the radio that my dad played, and then
that's me.
Oh, that's the 10 Things I Hate About You song.
That's Heath Ledger running through the bleachers.
Yeah, see, I have no idea what that means.
You gotta go watch it, Mark. Watch
Julia
Styles, 10 Things I Hate About
Heath
You.
Ledger.
I mean, I know the show, but I or the movie, but I don't.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Well,
but I will just for you guys,
absolutely.
And then I'll do the popcorn talk.
So this song, this musical had no original songs written for it,
right?
Like, you know, usually when you have a musical, even when you. I guess that's more movie than Broadway, though, I guess. But, like, they always kind of try to put one original song in there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they just used popular songs from that time period or songs that they themselves had written.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mostly songs the band actually sang, which is cool.
Right.
Even, like, the montage in the beginning when they're the backup vocalists. Like, they were actually the backup vocalists for those songs.
So
Short
good.
Shorts is the only song that wasn't them singing.
I guess, yeah. But Bob Gaudio write
it? He wrote
the
song.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I guess,
I was just going to say, and the music works so well. Like, I feel like in most cases like this, we kind of talked about it at the beginning, but, like, nothing really feels forced to me.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like it, whenever the circumstances are set up this way, it can happen. But the music works so well beyond just being good.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that, too, is, you know, I'm guessing I don't write songs, but I'm guessing that you're writing about things that you've experienced.
Yeah, it's true.
And when you're telling the story, it's just so much easier to tie it into those songs about those people because they're the ones that wrote the songs, you know?
Right.
And because they do it a lot where they like kind of will slip into another song.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they talk about the girls on the road and they were just singing, maybe like a Walk Like a Man, maybe, I think. And then it's the girls' song.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, kind of, like, say their one little line and go, boop, right into the next song. But it works. Like, flows right. And it kind of needs to be that fast pace because we're spanning so much of their life. We're going from, what, the 50s, 60s to 80s?
Yeah, I mean, if you count the last scene where they're getting inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the 90s, really. So, I'm glad you brought that up because it is a really slick, like, musical. Like, there's a lot of, like montages of songs or, like, they'll fade in and out. And, yeah, the orchestration and instrumentation is so good because they didn't just sing the songs. They didn't just recreate the songs, but they contextualize them within the show. And they never run too long, which is good because pop music can be redundant. And in a musical, I think the job of Broadway songwriters is to write songs that push the narrative forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they really did a good job of not extending the songs past, like, their shelf life, I feel like, during...
Yeah, like, you never got tired of a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's, like, even with songs like Sherry and stuff, like, that we know, it's, like, I never got tired of it, even if they were playing it for longer than the other ones.
Right.
Like, they chose which songs to play longer and which songs to have a little bit shorter, and I think it was smart the way they did it.
Yeah you're right.
My Boyfriend's Back is the song that the girls sing.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, nice. Boyfriend's
back. See, my little handy-dandy.
Sorry.
You listen to a Broadway show.
I know.
We're going to sing, you guys.
I'll let you guys do
you
that.
You signed up for
I'll
it.
Let it sink.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll put you through it.
And like I said, this show also, like, we've been talking about this whole time, it's just very nostalgic. It gives you that sense of throwing you back into that time period, and you kind of just feel like you're there, observing.
Totally.
And it's so cool, because I didn't even grow up in that time, and still, I feel like I did when I watched the show. Mm-hmm. The best nostalgia is the kind that can be invoked in you, and you've not even been there. You know, that's the sign of an effective...
Or you wish you would have been there.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and experienced it all.
They made it, like, relatable in a way that... anyone can relate, yes. whether or not you were alive and understand what was going on during that time period. Mm-hmm. And part of that for me is just Joe Pesci.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's the guy from Home Alone.
Uh-huh. I love it. They did. And even the first song, to use the rap song, they opened with Siswari La.
To open up with a more modern version of their songs. Yeah.
They
yeah.
tried to grab everyone. I personally, that's the only thing in the show. I didn't love that choice, is opening that way. But that's just me.
But then it's like, I understand like that because it's like weird because you're like sitting waiting for Jersey Boys and then you get not them at first, like mm-hmm. just their song, but in a very different way, in a different language. But then I like that he turns like, that's
C'est
our soirée song.
C'est
soirée la.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Like, so I liked even bringing them, like they're sitting in the future watching their stuff and then coming like from the past and they're talking to us about it.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. So. You shut up late.
You're not allowed to talk about the first half hour.
Do you want to know?
Mark, we live 4 hours from Vegas.
I know.
What happens, for those who are listening?
Well, I mean, I read it on here. Oh, you read it. So I did.
I was going to say, if our listeners forget as well. But
yeah, go ahead. No, tell them.
I was just going to say, for those who don't remember, we don't see any of the Jersey Boys at the beginning of the show. We actually see a bunch of like hip-hop dancers and like French pop stars singing Oh What a Night, like a remix version. Exactly. In French. And the idea... Who walks out first then? That's our song.
It's Tommy DeVito.
Tommy walks out and he's like, that's our song, C'est soir la. And it just shows how universal... the group it. How yeah. universal, you know, they're still so relevant today.
And then, like,
so.
It's like him taking us from the present into the past.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Which was really, I think that's why it worked so well. It's like, we weren't just shoved into the past. I think that's why they did that. They wanted to be like, okay, this is where we're at right now, but mm-hmm. let me tell you how it started.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how we got to this point.
And then
point.
It goes to kind of present.
It's very
at the
film noir-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is totally appropriate.
Yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
So we do have a thing on this show where we do our diva song. It's our song that we love to sing from this show over everything else. And that we just rock out to in the car, in the shower, wherever you are. So I'll give you guys a second. I'll say mine first.
Okay. I'm going to look through. Do you need this song?
I actually
you
think
know, I already know
I
one?
Think
okay, because they're all in
yeah.
here.
Mine is definitely Oh What a Night.
Okay.
I just sing that one over and over again. It's just so catchy and stuck in my head all the time.
Oh, What a Night's a great song. I feel like it's aged very well. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Sherry, they're classics, but they do sound kind of dated.
Yeah.
But I feel like Oh, What a Night could be sang by, like a Justin Timberlake today, and it would sound like a pop song from today. Oh, this is tough, Brie. Okay, so, like, Sunday Kind of Love I really like. Actually, though, my favorite song is Cry for Me, the Bob Gaudio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a fun... I think it's my favorite in the show.
I mean,
it's
all the songs in the show are just, like, so amazing and catchy.
Yeah. But I also love Too Good to Be True. Or Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Like, there's just so many. How about you? How about you, Mark?
Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Probably, hands down.
Also, I forgot to mention, guys, we have Alexis in the booth back again with us. Hey, Alexis.
Hi, Alexis. Hey, everybody.
What's your diva song?
Oh, man. I was waiting to, like, get an idea from you guys, and I was like, nope. I was just listening to how amazing it is. I like Big Girls Don't Cry just because... Yeah. My grandpa sings that, so anytime like the song comes up from the actual musical or the original song, he can harmonize with all of them. Yeah. So that just has a special place in my heart.
I remember my dad playing Walk Like a Man.
Yeah.
I also like their music personally as a woman because they sing higher, so I can sing along.
Right.
Yeah. The only part I can't
my
do is when they're
part
like
of quartets, man.
Like the Sherry, like,
why don't you come on?
Yeah. Yeah, at that I need a guy to jump in.
Party.
I think I tried to do it once and it hurt my throat a lot.
Yeah. I probably could have hit those when I was in high school. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of what made their group stand out and be a little different at that time period.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, my boyfriend, he was saying, like, how he personally doesn't really like that sound of that falsetto.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it sounds like a little cartoonish.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a different time. It's a different period. Mm-hmm. And also, that's a thing a lot of guys can't do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It was what made their group special. Like, and what I like about the show is that it doesn't acknowledge Frankie Valli's voice as a gimmick. Like, I feel like the way the band was presented in the 60s to the masses, he was kind of like the guy that could sing high.
Mm-hmm.
But the show accurately presents him as just an amazing vocalist. Just as, like, someone... He sings My Mother's Eyes, which is such a beautiful song. And that's an expression of how just good of a singer he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than just a high note gimmick.
Another thing this show does really well is it shows us how long it took that even though they were popular, how long it took to be recognized. And you guys, both being from Ohio, ironically,
we are.
Where we that's how we end the show, is them being inducted finally, but taking that long to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, are you from Cleveland?
Lorraine.
That's right. Yeah, I knew that. there's so many reasons I love this show, but that's one of them. It's like Cleveland shows up, and Cleveland doesn't get a lot of love.
No, it does not.
And so it's cool. It's just fun every time I see this show, and I'm like, and it gets Cleveland a shout out.
Yeah.
But it's the show is such a roller coaster. We have our ups and our downs, and I like that we end on an up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good
choice. They end it in a way that just makes you feel very like you get all the feels, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because you're like so happy for them, and then the way they do it with just bringing them out one at a time, it's just like, oh my god.
Oh my, I know.
Like you just like it's, I don't even know how to explain. It's just a feeling.
Kind of cathartic.
Yeah.
Something kind of beautiful, and like. And something, yeah, emotional, and but also, like, kind of puts you at peace after the... It's like, this is, you know, we're here together now. And it's includes the audience.
Yeah.
It's
just, it almost makes you feel how excited, like, you are to see your favorite band.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they finally come out on stage, and you're just like, oh, my God.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's just, you know, the speech he gives before it, too. Like, it just guiding you into that. It's just, like, making you realize that this is how hard we worked. Like, I just kept going and going like that bunny on TV.
Oh, my God. I'm getting chills thinking about it. It's so good.
And we're actually going to play it during the... I'm going to play the Tony Ward video later on, good. So we'll see it. But
I'll probably cry.
So I want to talk about the
because
actors,
I'm
though. Because oh, my God. The actors, though, because they were so good in these roles. They worked so hard. John Lloyd Young, who played Frankie Valli, worked alongside Frankie Valli to get the voice down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is the original cast. This show, if it doesn't have the right cast, I think will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
You have to have those right people. You have to have them working in the right way and the voices to pull it off.
Right.
It's such a singer's show. And like not only that, but it's also such an ensemble show. Mm. You've got to find four amazing individual vocalists and a group that can blend. Because on the ship I was on, it was a quartet. I'm not much of a solo vocalist unless I'm in an ensemble.
Uh-huh.
And that's the hardest part of ensemble singing, is really honing your group sound.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything about this original cast, they just nailed it.
And even like Frankie Valli, like when he sings with the harmonies of the group, he brings his voice down. He doesn't stand out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did really well. And that's what John Lloyd Young was able to do very well, is like stand out when he needed to stand out, be the diva when he needed to be the diva. But also tone it back in and be a part of the group.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason that they were the Four Seasons and then Frankie Valli and then the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we also have Christian Hoff, who played Tommy DeVito, who is my personal favorite talking.
Mm-hmm.
I said he had the best accent for me.
Right.
We have Daniel Ricciard play Bob Guardio. And then J. Robert Spencer played Nick Massey.
Nice.
Yeah. Other thing I was going to say, I don't know if this was something you were going to bring up later. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it in here. But I just wanted to talk about, because this was the one thing in the whole show for me that just like sent chills down my spine, was the handshake. The whole thing about it, all this, everything that happened was because of a promise and a handshake.
Wow.
Like, and that I just thought, I kept thinking about it after the show, like how today it would just, that would never.
Yeah, I mean, the reason.
They were men of their word.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that's why they went back to rags is because Frankie Valli wouldn't let Tommy off, like, just, he wouldn't just say, like, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
He still helped him out no matter how terrible of what he did to the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the show, it's just such a Jersey show.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of, like, we're brothers. It's like there's this family element. And, like, I feel like that's such a thing, just, like, the Italian, like... Like brotherhood, a handshake is all I need.
That's all I,
like,
yeah. Which I don't know. I just that's the one thing. Like sitting down to like start getting ready for this, that I just kept popping in my head was that moment when they talk about the handshake. And
yeah, that's a great point.
That this is all, this whole, all, everything you just watched is because of a handshake
and
a promise. You know.
I mean, when you think about it in that way of like family and stuff, like none of these guys would have been where they ended up without the others.
Exactly.
Like, if Bob Guardio hadn't come in, they didn't have a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
If Frankie had not come in, they didn't have that standout singer. If they didn't have Tommy, they didn't have the, like, guy who kind of brought the group together. And, you know, and Nick was kind of the one that kept them sane.
Grounded. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's the show did such a good job of making these characters different. Because that's another thing is, like, the show could have been kind of boring if only Frankie were featured. But right. we talked about it. But like letting them all tell their story.
Yep.
is just what makes the show so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're four great meaty roles. You know, it's like, it's not just the Frankie show.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
which is great.
Exactly.
And also the thing that made the show so good was just the use of lighting.
Mm.
That was like what stood out to me the most when I first watched it. The how they would use the stage and the lighting to make us either look like we're backstage, watching them from backstage, or like my absolute favorite part is when they're on the what's it called show.
The Ed Sullivan Show.
The Ed Sullivan Show, and they're facing sideways to the camera, and they're playing the real Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons on a projecting screen.
So cool.
And their movements match the projecting screen exactly.
Spot on.
And it's, like, ridiculous.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were really smart, because, like, you're an audience member when you're an audience member. You're behind the scenes when you're behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in their home. You're
yeah.
You're a bystander. Like, it's... They were smart in how they incorporated the stage. They had a very simple set. But the way they incorporate the stage, I think, made it very... You feel like you were in every part of their life, no matter what was.
Yeah, it's a very tangible production. You feel like they... Because the show's about entertainers, it's important to make the audience know when we're seeing just their story behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But like when they're on stage, we want to feel like we're seeing them on stage.
Right.
And the show just nailed it. The production nailed it.
Yeah. It was... Even like down to like the like little dinky dance moves that they did back in those days, which us nowadays we're like, oh, that's all they do. But
it's hard though. We had to do the walk like a man motion on the ship, and it was it's to get the thing is the move isn't necessarily hard, but to get them aligned,
right?
Because it's
I
actually
kept watching that on YouTube, and I was like, I wonder if I could do that.
It took we
also,
like had to stand
also
in front
the
of a
same repetitiveness of it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it's one thing to do it for like 20 seconds, but to do it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And yeah, we just had to stand in front of a mirror and like really, because you kind of, your hands kind of go down, but your body kind of goes up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took us
And then
us
you
a
get,
really,
a, get up on your tippy toes.
Yeah, it took us a really long
time. Awesome. There's a couple people in here that Samantha Ramirez and Brian McGee. Samantha says her diva songs are Who Loves You and Oh What a Night. Mm. It's a tie.
Who Loves You?
Sometimes
great.
There's a tie.
And Brian McGee says, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You and Who Loves You are his personal
Who Loves You
songs.
Isn't a great one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perfect ender for the show.
Yeah.
So going into the Tony Awards now, because I do want to talk about before we run out of time, and I want to show the video. So while she's keeping up the video for us, I'm going to just say what was nominated and what won.
Yeah.
So it was nominated for Best Book of a Musical, Best Performance by a Leading Actor in a Musical for John Lloyd Young, Best Performance by a Featured Actor in a Musical by Christian Hoff, Best Direction of a Musical, Best Orchestrations, Best Scenic Design of a Musical, and Best Lighting. And it won Best Book, I believe, for not for Tony's, but for the Desk Awards. And then I think it just won three for the Tonys, but I could be wrong on that.
Tony, I think
to.
It said... It
I think
won
I forgot to write one.
2006 Best Musical Tony Award.
Okay, it did
win Best Musical
Award. Okay, I wasn't sure because I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
I think I was like thinking I just missed writing it down.
Yeah.
Then it won for Best Leading Actor, Best Featured Actor, and Best Lighting, as we were talking about.
Yeah. I will say I did find this little fun fact that I thought was interesting. 33 of the songs in the musical... There were 33 songs in the musical. 11 were Billboard Top 10.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought that was kind of cool. And when they audition, they're not allowed to sing. The guys aren't allowed to sing songs from the show. They can sing other Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons songs, but they're not allowed to sing the
a
songs
from the
show.
A lot of times for auditions, they don't want you to sing the songs from the show. Because they want to mold you into the show. They just want to see what you're singing. So
singing
style.
Cool. Yeah.
I can't talk like that. All right, so we're going to watch this video from the Tonys. And this is going to start with Just Too Good to Be True. And then it'll go into the montage.
I won't sing it, promise.
I know.
You can lip sync it.
At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare.
This just kind of shows how much it showcases them.
Yeah.
That's why the set was bare bone, because it showcased them, not the set.
But having the band in the set is so cool. It's very, it's kind of Rent a little bit.
Yeah.
Please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
I
Oh, this is so cool.
Oh, I know that. I remember getting just chills when they came out.
So many times. And they turn.
Yeah.
He was just so good at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just too good to be true. Now, I wanted to keep the next parts in too because I wanted to have the monologue part and the before. Because I wanted to showcase both.
So this Let's just watch the whole thing.
Yeah, this is one that I wanted to just watch the whole thing. Sometimes I cut it, but.
They asked you, what was the hot thing? The Hall of Fame, selling all those records, pulling Sherry out of the hat. It was all great. But the first time the four of us made that sound, our sound, when everything dropped away and all there was the music. That was the best. That's why I'm still out there singing. Like that bunny on TV with the battery, I just keep going and going and going. Chasing the music. Trying to get home.
Who loves you, pretty
yes.
baby?
See, them walking out so...
I am crying.
Yeah.
It's just like they broke up and this is them rejoining back together.
It's so good.
This is good for me because this guy at the end of King's Long Man, he was in Next to Normal, which is also a show about him right there. He's the dad in Next to Normal. Yeah.
Who loves you, pretty baby? Who's gonna love you, mama?
This is like the most intense choreography they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually know it from the show. Oh, ours is a little different.
Every time I see this, I just like want to get out of my chair.
I know, right? I know, I'm like antsy.
No,
in my
when
chair.
I saw this, everyone in the audience was on their feet dancing.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Everybody. I was up in the very top and we were all dancing.
Yeah, it's just really hard to sit still during these songs.
Oh, man. This is.
I'm right with you, Jeff. I'm getting a little teary-eyed back here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, here's the hype.
My dad's always like, How did they get that live? They have to, like, squeeze
something. This is a funny thing. On the ship, we did that last chord.
Wow.
And we actually had to send our bass up on that high note, which is crazy. Our Frankie Valli couldn't hit that note. And weirdly, only our bass could. So we had to, like, revoice the chord.
That's different.
Because sometimes it's this weird thing. This is why I hate basses. Because they can sing all these low notes, but then, like, weirdly, sometimes they have an amazing upper register, too. So we had to send our bass up on that high note. Weird, weird fun fact. But
there's someone here in the chat room, Disney Magic 92, says she was I don't know why I'm saying she, I don't know. Was fortunate enough to see this a few months before the end of the Las Vegas run, and I was in tears at the Can't Take My Eyes Off You. I was emotionally overwhelmed in the best way.
Oh, I thought it was still in Vegas. I didn't realize.
I was just thinking that. We're going to try and go in January.
I can double check, though.
See if it is.
Alexis? I thought
see if it's running in January, because I'm supposed to be going.
Let's go.
January.
And well, I do know the show is ending. I think it's its 12-year run, I want to say, on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
This January. So it might actually end up going on tour again. Sometimes when they end on Broadway, they do another tour. Okay.
There is no performance dates right now.
For Vegas?
For Vegas.
Oh. Okay. So yeah, because I did it.
It was at Paris, I do believe.
Yes.
Paris or the Venetian. I think I saw it at the Venetian.
Yeah, I guess I was there 2 years ago and it was still there. So I didn't realize.
It looks like their final performance was on September 18th, 2016.
Oh, wow. Bummer.
Yeah, I know.
So that was not that long ago.
There goes my idea for my January Vegas
trip. Okay, it's okay. I was going to do the same thing with my
tours,
mom.
If it tours.
I'll just take Jeff and you can perform here.
No,
Jeff will do a one-man show performance.
You will be sorely, disappointed, I promise you that much. Whenever I listen to the original cast recording, I'm like, oh man, we were bad. That's how, I guess we were professional, but that's how real professionals are.
I have a question for you since you've actually performed the show.
Yeah.
What was your favorite scene song? To perform, or just scene in general. Like, it doesn't even have to
be. So actually, we were just a tribute. We only did the songs.
The songs. Okay, yeah. So what was your favorite song then?
Who Loves You? Because as a group, just those chords are so tight.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to sing that last chord, no one couldn't not, even when we were a little out of tune, which we were never out of tune, we were always perfect. No. But, like, everyone would just stand up. Like, the music is just such show-stopping music. You know what I mean? So I think Who Loves You is my favorite to sing. It was
that
a
makes sense. I mean, yeah. It's the only, I think it's the only one that actually kind of envelops every single person that's on that show is part of that performance.
It's the most, like, groupy song to me in the show. So.
Yeah. When I do the Days of Our Lives after show, and Deidre Hall's character's name is Marlena, and I kept thinking, when we interview her, that's the song we need to play at the top of the interview for a Spotlight On here. And I completely, we did interview and I completely forgot.
Oh,
like,
no.
We should have played Marlena.
Nice.
So I think that about wraps up our show. You guys have any like last thoughts you would want to talk about?
I was going to say that I actually saw Eric Bergen. My friend produces a lot of live shows here in LA, and they did a Broadway Under the Stars at the Ford Amphitheater, and Eric Bergen was in that show, and I got to meet him, and he was just phenomenal. And such a nice guy. He was very, very, very nice.
I mean, like, it's just such a good show.
From the movie. He's in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. I think, as someone who has performed in a quartet, the show really nails the dynamics of, like, male singing, and just, like, I guess no pun intended, but, like, really just the brotherhood and camaraderie and the fights, and, like, I get so emotional seeing the show because I am transported back to when I performed with Forget. Like, I can't watch the show and not get emotional at the end because you, like, it's the thing of, like, you fight, and, like, you might have huge blowouts, but, like, there's something so inherent. You will never not be brothers because of what you've, because you sang together. Like, it's... That sounds like so cliche.
Samantha says they are on tour right now.
Oh, they are. Perfect.
And Bree, props to you. Great show. Good job leading today.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us come on.
Thank you.
So make sure, guys, we're going to be talking the movie next week of Jersey Boys, which was directed by Clint Eastwood, which also starred John Lloyd Young. We're going to be giving our thoughts and opinions on that and how it relates with the play, what could have been different, what they did well. So make sure you tune in next week for that. You can always find me at BFIPS14 on Instagram and Twitter. And where can they find you guys again?
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find me on Jeffrey C. Graham. Mark mentioned AfterBuzz, which is our sister network. If you're a TV fan, you can find reviews and after shows for all of pretty much everything on TV. So go check that out as well.
And I'm Mark J. Freeman. You can find me at Lorraine Love, LorayneLove. Now the Lorraine makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, bringing it back.
And yes, I do AfterBuzz as well for Days of Our Lives. And we just wrap RuPaul's Drag Race. So yeah, they pretty much do every...
And make sure to follow us on our Twitter at Broadway Beatdown. We have a Facebook page as well, Broadway Breakdown. Comment, subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud as well. Let us know what you think and what shows you want us to cover coming up in the next year, because it's a whole brand new year.
Can we say what shows we might be doing next year?
Can we give
them a teaser?
Sure.
One or two. Sound of Music.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Which one's that?
I'm like, I want to do both. I want to just talk about The Sound of Music for the rest of my life.
Also, guys, I will be doing Crazy Ex-Girlfriend if you are a fan of that show. It is also a musical show.
Yeah.
Later tonight at 8 p.m. Post Standard Time. So tune in for that. And we will see you all next week.
Next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.